Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about the importance that people or that our society in general places on being first, on first and historical accomplishments. I imagine that many of you could probably name the first U.S. president, the first man to walk on the surface of the moon, the first man to fly solo across the Atlantic Ocean. If you're interested in sports, I bet that you could name all kinds of firsts and record holders of the particular sports that you're interested in and like to follow. Even in the church, unfortunately, we are often tempted into thinking about how we can outdo each other, or at least trying to gain more prestige and more esteem from other people around us. We might be interested in gaining various positions of leadership or of authority. We might find ourselves having the same trouble, the same problem that seemed to be so important to Jesus' own disciples, as we read about in the gospel reading from Mark chapter 9. We read how Jesus asked them after they had arrived in Capernaum following a journey on the road. Jesus asked, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent, because on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Not referring to Jesus as the greatest, but which among themselves, Jesus' disciples, was the greatest. Our sermon text today deals with a similar kind of problem. A problem that Jeremiah, one of the greatest prophets of God in the Old Testament, faced in his own life. And Jeremiah shares with us his feelings as he faced that situation of great persecution, great threat to his own welfare and life. Whether other people around us in our lives think highly of us or not, what really should matter most to us is that we ourselves are faithful and obedient to God and following His will in our lives. And so as Christians, as followers of Jesus our Savior, we shouldn't turn back or be discouraged in following Jesus and in following His calling for our lives to serve God and to follow God's will in everything that we think and say and do. But instead we should trust that even when people reject us, reject the message from God's word that we share, even when they might persecute us or mock or ridicule us, we can trust, as Jeremiah did, that God will vindicate us, that God will vindicate our faith in Him, that He will be faithful to His promises. So we see in our reading from Jeremiah today that what matters most in our lives is not what other people say, what other people think of us. What matters most is what God says about us, what God thinks of us. And so we see as we reflect on God's word that the first goal, the top priority for every Christian in our lives is to serve God. Of course, we know that, as we know from our own experience in life, that that can be very difficult because the world in general around us, even though we might live in a society that has a predominantly Christian background, but yet, so many people in our society today and so much of the world around us is actually not very receptive to what God really has to say in His Word. And Jeremiah also discovered that when God called Jeremiah to be God's prophet. Even from a very young age, Jeremiah was commissioned by God to go and be God's spokesperson, God's messenger, accurately, honestly, openly conveying from God to God's people the message that God wanted him to speak. And so for 40 years, during the reigns of five kings of Judah, Jeremiah did just that. He carried out that prophetic duty to speak the messages that God gave him to God's people. And Jeremiah did that with zeal. He was faithful. He faithfully warned God's people to repent lest the judgment, the punishment that God warned about would come upon them. Again and again, we see that Jeremiah tried to divert the people of Judah from that path that they were going down, the path that would only lead to their own destruction because of their rebellion against God and their failure to follow God's commands. See that Jeremiah became very emotionally involved in that mission, in the message that he was sharing, so that the words that he spoke reflected the anguish of his heart. And also, as we read the book of Lamentations, which was written by Jeremiah, we see him pouring out the grief that he felt, seeing the destruction of his cherished homeland, and especially of the temple of God in Jerusalem, that judgment that God carried out as he had warned, and punishment for the sins of the people. But in spite of all of Jeremiah's pleas with his people, in spite of all the warnings that he made, ultimately and tragically, those warnings went unheeded. And as we read about today in the reading from Jeremiah chapter 11, Jeremiah's own countrymen, even some of his own relatives, were plotting to kill him, saying, "Let us destroy the tree along with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will no longer be remembered." So clearly, Jeremiah's ministry did not lead to him winning over a large number of friends for himself, or having a lot of influence over others because they were so attracted to the message that he was proclaiming. So that calls us also to examine our own lives and our own words. What are we most concerned about in our lives? Are we more interested in gathering friends than we are in giving a faithful witness to God's word, even at times when that might lead to some conflict or some uncomfortable strain in some friendships or relationships? Are we more eager to have people accept us and remember us as a pleasant friend than we are in always letting our light shine for God, for Jesus our Savior, and for the truth of His Word? Giving a consistent, faithful Christian witness so that our lifestyle, our words, and our actions supports what we say that we believe, that's not always easy to do in this sinful world in which we live. Yet God calls us to do just that when He calls us to be followers of Jesus. God tells us that although we are in the world, we can't escape the sinful world around us, yet God says, don't be wrapped up in the things of this world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. The Apostle Paul exhorts us in Romans chapter 12, since we know everything that God has done for us, that He gave up His own Son to death to save us from our sins. God's Apostle Paul calls us to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship. Also, do not continue to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without blemish among a crooked and perverted generation. You shine among them like lights in the world as you hold on to the word of life. Now, that may not be what the world would suggest for anyone who wants to stand out and to be recognized and acclaimed by people around them, but that is what God is calling us to do as followers of Jesus. And we also see, as we look at the life and ministry of Jesus recorded in the gospel books of the Bible, that is exactly what Jesus himself did as well. Jesus was despised and rejected by people because he wasn't the kind of Messiah that they were expecting. In John chapter 1, we read, he, Jesus, came to what was his own, yet his own people did not accept him. And in the gospel reading for today, we see Jesus telling his disciples again, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. But 3 days after he is killed, he will rise. But then we also read that the disciples did not understand the statement and were afraid to ask him about it. And that might seem a little bit strange to us because from our vantage point, that's not hard for us to understand. We know what Jesus' death meant for us. We know from God's word why it had to happen. And even as tragic as it was, we rejoice because we know what Jesus' death means for us. We know that because of his resurrection, our sins certainly have been forgiven. Eternal life with God in heaven certainly is ours. And we know that our living Lord Jesus now sits at the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf. But what is hard for us to deal with is the reality that being a Christian does indeed at times bring us into conflict with others around us. What we're not always so happy to hear is other words from God. As Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Jesus goes on to explain how even family members would be turned against each other because some believe in Jesus as the Savior and some do not. Jesus says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now, in view of all of that, of that stark reality, some people might wonder whether it's actually worth it to be a follower of Jesus. Following Jesus by faith is not easy. But we should not become discouraged nor allow anything to turn us aside from that path of following Jesus and his will. Think back again to the life of the prophet Jeremiah. And the kind of opposition that Jeremiah faced, that even from his own relatives, even from the people of the town that he grew up in, he faced opposition and even persecution when he continued to faithfully proclaim the true message from God that God instructed him to preach. How much it certainly hurt and anguished Jeremiah to know that those people very close to him, were plotting to kill him. And I imagine that none of us here today have had threats made, detailed plots made against our lives because of our faith in Jesus. But yet it does trouble us also to have friends or relatives whose attitude or whose lifestyle is contrary to what God desires and perhaps who openly mock our own commitment to follow Jesus and his will in our lives. It could even be our spouse or maybe our parents or grandparents or a sibling or a child, someone whom we love and admire and respect, a person perhaps even who in some ways seems to be very religious but yet does not obey God's will in their lives. Maybe it's a person who says that, "I believe in God in my own way," but yet they don't follow God's call for example, for Christians to regularly meet together to hear God's word and receive the Lord's Supper together, or who ignores some other teaching of God's word and live in open contradiction with what God calls his followers to believe and to live. There were people like that at the time of Jeremiah, and God gives clear warning to them just earlier in Jeremiah chapter 11. God says, "From the time I brought your forefathers up from Egypt until today, I warned them again and again, saying, 'Obey me.' But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubbornness of their evil hearts." And of course, our situation today is much different from the situation that Jeremiah had to face. He literally was in danger of physical persecution, and according to ancient Christian and in Jewish traditions, Jeremiah was eventually killed by his own countrymen because of faithfully proclaiming the message that he did from God. Now, even though that kind of danger may not threaten us today, and we pray that it will never be a threat to us, Yet we do still encounter situations in our lives in which we may be tempted to compromise our faith. Maybe at your workplace or at your school, you as a Christian might be tempted to turn away from your moral convictions, from what God wants you to do, to be honest, to be faithful in your work and in your schoolwork. You might be tempted to yield to pressure to go along with some dishonest scheme or plan of your coworkers or something your boss asks you to do or your classmates. Will we keep quiet in the face of injustice or the immoral conditions that we see in the world around us? Will we fail to speak up for what is right and good so that we don't run the risk of becoming unpopular, becoming shunned by the people in our lives around us? There's a story that you may have heard about a young Christian man, who one summer he was going to go and work in a logging camp in a remote area, but he was concerned about the reputation of that kind of work setting and the people who live and work there. And so he went and talked to his pastor before he went and went into that work experience, just sharing his concerns with his pastor about whether he would be able to hold on to his faith and whether what kind of persecution or opposition he might face in that situation because of his faith and his desire to follow God's will. The pastor encouraged him, and he went and worked in that summer job. And when he came back, returned to his hometown and his church after that summer experience, the pastor followed up and asked him how everything went when he was away in that kind of setting. And the young man replied, "Oh, really, I had no problem at all because they never found out that I was a Christian." How sad that is. Yet how often we also have failed to give a positive Christian witness in our lives and to the people around us. How often we've been more concerned about our own reputation, about what other people think of us, than we have been about standing up for the one who carries the marks of nails in his hands and his feet. Thank God that Jesus did not turn aside from his mission, but that instead he persisted. He went even where he knew that he would be arrested and beaten and tortured and put to death in the most shameful and excruciating way possible. And he did that all for us, for our salvation. Although Jeremiah could describe his own situation in our verse, saying, "I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter," and thank God that Jesus truly is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who went forth in perfect obedience to offer not just his life, but his holy, innocent blood in payment for the sins of everyone in the whole world. Because Jesus did that for you and for me and for all other people in the world, we can be sure that we now stand forgiven in the sight of our Heavenly Father. We can be sure, as God's Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, that we have an advocate before the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who speaks up in our defense, who deflects all of the accusations of the devil against us, and instead holds up his cross as a reminder to our Heavenly Father, not that he would ever forget, but as proof that all of our sins have been forgiven. Knowing what Jesus has endured for us and believing that through Jesus we have God's gift of eternal life. Our eternal life has already begun and it will continue even beyond our physical death. Since we know that, we consider it a privilege and a joy to be able to follow after Jesus, even if need be, suffering because of the name of Jesus and our faith in him. By trusting in Jesus, we have the power that we need to remain firm in faith, no matter what may come our way. Faith in our Almighty and our merciful God gives us that strength that power, that grace that we need to carry on no matter what might come our way in our lives. And as we see today in the words of Jeremiah, we see that even in the face of the threat of death, of torture, of persecution, we can remain firm in faith. Just as Jeremiah says in verse 20, his confidence in the Lord, "But Lord of armies, you judge righteously. You test the heart and mind. Let me see your vengeance on them, for I have presented my case to you." That's the kind of trust that is willing to say, "No matter what happens, God, I trust that you will protect and defend and rescue me, that you will keep me safe in your loving hands, under your almighty care." Now, maybe as we think about those words from Jeremiah, we might get a little hung up on asking God to take vengeance upon our enemies. But as we read even the whole book of Psalms, we see that that's a theme that comes up again and again. That's probably not a place that we want to live consistently in our personal prayer lives, praying every day for God to take vengeance upon our enemies. But yet in Jeremiah's case, his enemies were clearly God's enemies, because they were people who were clearly opposing and suppressing the truth of God's word. And so it's not like Jeremiah was looking for personal revenge because of petty personal grudges, but he was simply praying in another way what we pray every time we pray the Lord's Prayer: for God's name to be kept holy, for God's kingdom to come, for God's will to be done, and for God to deliver us from evil. And so let us continue to stand firm in faith. Even though the call to follow Jesus, our Savior, and throughout our lives might sometimes bring us into conflict with others, let's never turn back or forsake our Lord or His word. Instead, let's recall frequently and joyfully everything that Jesus has done for us, for our salvation. And by doing so, let's find new strength to give ourselves ever more fully to service to God and to our Savior Jesus, always by His grace, standing firm in faith. Amen.